episode 358. I'm Andrew. It's 2003, and I'm here in the production offices of Columbia Pictures. We're having a meeting where we're greenlighting a remake of Bewitched, the 1964 comedy sitcom about a guy who marries a witch. On my left sits Ben, a junior vice president of development here at Columbia, and he was just explaining to us why it's a good idea to make the remake about a movie star filming a film remake of the TV show Bewitched, who completely accidentally and by coincidence casts a real witch in the metatextual remake of Bewitched that is happening inside the remake of Bewitched that we're producing. Go ahead and explain why that's a good idea, Ben.
I think it will help orient the viewer. Because they know that it already exists, so it'd be confusing for them to enter into a cinematic world where it doesn't already exist so that a new one can happen. Like, they'd be completely confused. So we need to do something really straightforward, like have it be both a remake and also about a remake. I think that would just make it clearer for everyone.
Yeah, so you think it would better ground your average viewer to see the kind of behind the scenes of a movie being made.
Yes. And for some reason, I, as a movie executive, love when movies are about the process of making movies.
Oh my God, yes. Yes.
Well, it's a love letter to Hollywood.
It's a love letter to Hollywood in a way. This was a Will Ferrell joint, right?
Well, funny that you mention him, because on my right sits the star of the show, the man who will headline the film and play actor Jack Wyatt and also the character Darren Stevens from the remake of Bewitched inside the remake of Bewitched that we're making. It's beloved funny man Will Ferrell, who today keeps being asked to get called Lucy. It's Lucy.
Hey.
Hey, go on, Lucy. Give us your famous impersonation of George W. Bush.
So I'm embodying Will Ferrell doing an impression of George W. Bush.
Well, that was one of your very famous impersonations from your run on Saturday Night Live, of course, which you'd remember having done all those episodes of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just a little slow on this because I haven't seen the movie that we're making.
Well, we haven't made it yet. That'd be crazy.
We haven't made it yet, of course. Yeah, so I haven't seen it. So
I don't think anyone saw it in
fairness. Trying to process everything that you just said about the movie that we're making. I also haven't got a George W. Bush impression. Just haven't got one on hand. Might have to come back to that one.
You just kind of let that one go?
I'll take that one on notice.
Retired that one, probably.
Yeah, okay. Probably.
Nicole Kidman. Directed and written by Nora Ephron.
Yep.
Really?
You've got to be shitting me.
Crazy,
Shirley MacLaine?
Right?
Shirley MacLaine's in it?
Kind of universally panned, right? This movie that we're making.
It's one of those films that I've definitely seen, and the only thing I could tell you about it is that it has Will Ferrell and Nicole Kidman in it, and that they're remaking Bewitched in the movie. That's like the only information that my brain thought was worth storing.
It's got a hell of a cast.
Yeah,
like
wow.
Michael Caine, Jason Schwartzman, Shirley MacLaine, Stephen Colbert.
Jason Schwartzman?
They got Schwartzman?
Got it all. They got Schwartzman for this?
Ed McMahon, Conan O'Brien, James Lipton? Come on, Richard Kind?
Yeah, I'm excited to make a movie that the New York Times will eventually call, quote, an unmitigated disaster.
That's a damn.
I'd love if someone said that about my movie.
Just something you'd spend a while working on.
People just don't really get when the movie's about making a movie. They kind of don't get it when it's like a love letter to Hollywood.
Yes. That's right. And one day, Rotten Tomatoes will summarize this film by saying, Bewitched is haunted by scattered laughs and a lack of direction.
Oh, this is nice. It got the classic Margaret and David 3.5 stars, which means
passive aggressive.
One of them gave it 5 and one of them gave it 2. Margaret went, you know what, David? I'm going to give it 5 stars. And David goes, oh, well, I think that's very foolish. I'm giving it 2.
I think that's fucking stupid. It was a piece of garbage. I fucking hated it so much. And Margaret goes, you're wrong, David. Your subjective opinion is wrong.
Personally, I felt nauseated by the entire picture. Oh, you're such a stuffy old cunt. Let's move
they
on to another
like
movie.
That.
However, both
fuck.
Of them.
We know that they fuck
each
other.
They fuck. We get that Margaret and David fuck. And
that's why it's kind of okay to be so rude to each other.
Yeah, because they have such the trust that's implicit. The physical intimacy they have lets them have that emotional intimacy because there's a core there.
Totally.
That the fucking is so good that they could never disagree so much that it would ruin what they have.
100%.
And sometimes the disagreement really spices up the sex later.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? Totally.
You ever unbuttoned a shirt angrily?
Oh, sometimes you've spent like 40 minutes yelling at your soulmate about a Harmony Korine movie, and then the two of you just fucking go at it hammer and tongs. Oh, man, if you're not Australian and you're not familiar with beautiful critics Margaret Pomeranz and David Stratton...
Imagine if Siskel and Ebert fucked.
Imagine if Siskel and Ebert were a man and a woman and they fucked.
You got it, yeah.
Also, it's what Tim Heidecker's At the Movies is based on.
Really?
On cinema, that's what that's called, isn't it?
Yeah, on cinema, at the cinema.
The movies with Margaret and David. That's where Australians came to understand films. None of your Chicago-based critics.
That's probably a pretty fraught emotional relationship between Margaret and David. And I bet they might have some questions for our resident romance and relationships expert, Dr. Lucy. It's time for Paging Dr. Lucy.
If you find that you are having a little relationship trouble, just pick up your telephone and dial it on the double. You call 1-800-317-5155. Now you're paging Dr. Lucy.
This comes to us from r/swingers. Parties similar to the movie Eyes Wide Shut.
Is that a
anyone
question?
Got a publicly postable address for a secret party?
Yes, I know that's a movie. Scripted, make-believe fantasy and not real life, lol. But there's got to be parties out there like that. Beautiful mansion, beautiful people, at least semi-upscale, etc. Where can one find parties like that in real life?
This is the swinger fantasy. Like, this is what you think. Like, we'll be swingers and there's all these other, like, really sexy couples, like, beautiful, like, interesting and...
like, wealthy, really glamorous.
Glamorous, like, yeah. Hot wife and husband, you know, we're both getting something out of this.
Which
yeah.
almost never happens.
Never happens, yeah. I don't think that's the reality.
I think that there are definitely high-level Hollywood sex parties going on.
No
I don't
doubt.
Think the people in r/swingers are never setting foot anywhere near any
no,
of
them. No, they're literally just going on in Hollywood.
They're at the party. They're at the party from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Orgy.
Yeah. They're at that. And like, I don't want people to feel that we're ragging on these people constantly. You know what? You're going to enter the swingers community and you're going to have a lot of group sex that you're going to really enjoy. And I'm very happy for you. It's going to be great, but it's going to be more of a I've also bought a pasta bake with me type, like, group sex. It's not going to be like going to a giant 18th century mansion and then, like, the most beautiful people. Like, Olympic athletes aren't going to be at your swingers
party. At your
swingers
party, yeah.
Yeah. Formula One drivers, billionaires, artists, they're not
Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
You've got, like... HVAC technicians are at your swingers party, which is great.
You've got software engineers.
Yeah, a lot.
Like a lot. Probably significantly, yeah.
Yeah.
High number.
Which is still great, you know? You still get what you want. Oh, look, that software engineer is fucking my wife. I'm fucking a software engineer.
Mm.
I'm touching another software engineer while all this is happening. We're all fucking a software engineer. Yeah. Hell, I am one.
I am one.
Everyone in the room is a software engineer.
Look to your left. Look to your right.
Look
if
down.
You don't see a software engineer, you are the software engineer.
I don't want this poor person to sort of get their hopes up that they're like going to get an invite. Like a scroll will arrive at their house with just the word Enigma written on it. And then, you know, they get to
go. You got to figure out where it is.
Yeah.
Secret doors, things of that nature.
National treasure type shit to figure out where it is.
Also, you know, Eyes Wide Shut, they weren't just having a sex party. That's kind of part of the plot.
Yeah.
Like they were doing other stuff.
It's a bit kind of like, hey, does anybody know how to get tickets to the Epstein plane?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a little like, anybody know about an island like the Epstein Island that I could go to?
Mm.
Don't clip that. Don't clip that, by the way.
I don't think you're going to find out, like, these sorts of things aren't getting handed out on Reddit.
No, 100%. No one's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'll just send me a message. I'll invite you to the Eyes Wide Shut party next week.
I just thought of a great scam. You go on there and you say, hey, I'm minting unique tickets to an Eyes Wide Shut party.
Yeah. Mm.
Get on here, put money into my Bitcoin wallet, and I'll send you the password to the sex party.
Yes.
Rug pull.
The password is scapula. If anything, I think of all the social media networks, the one most likely to be circulating the Eyes Wide Shut party, mm-hmm. LinkedIn.
Yeah, 100%.
Because there's going to be like a bunch of low-level tech millionaires who are still on LinkedIn who haven't been invited to like the secret celeb only social network.
Set up my own secret sex party.
Do you guys remember? Really cool. I'm pretty sure there. Did someone make a celeb only dating app?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
That seems like that would have been hard to police.
Yeah.
You know which part of this Reddit post is really sticking out to me, requires further investigation,
mm-hmm.
is I would love to know exactly what this person means when they say, at least semi-upscale.
Yeah, what do you mean by
what
that?
What is semi-upscale to you? Like
an orgy? Four-bedroom house.
An orgy at the Hyatt?
Like, maybe you're just meeting in the Hyatt lobby.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like a nice room, but it's like no one owns it. Like it's not their house.
You've booked out the convention room at the Radisson. So that's probably going to like, you know, it's nice-ish. They got free coffee. So
yeah. Somebody's playing somebody's playing hotel lobby piano jazz on a JBL Bluetooth speaker in the room that you're fucking in.
Oh my God. Someone's playing, I don't know if you remember these, but they were those lounge jazz albums that were covers of like specific songs from decades. It was like jazz and 90s, jazz and 80s. They're playing that. There's the lounge jazz cover of Black Hole Sun playing while you're like getting fucking destroyed by a software engineer and then destroying a software engineer. Semi-upscale. Just dream bigger.
What is semi-upscale? I want something that's almost upscale.
Do you reckon this
post is by...
You
want to fuck in a McMansion? You want to fuck in a McMansion? Is that what
Maybe.
You're after?
I think this... You reckon this is someone who, like, has already done a bunch of swinger stuff and is kind of
like,
desperate
I feel
for
like this
a little
could be better.
Better.
I
yeah,
feel like this
totally.
Could be better.
This is what they expected when they started, but then they went to a few swingers parties and they were not that.
Yeah, because they didn't expect Pastor Bake software engineer. They were expecting silk nightgowns, like the expensive Honey Burdette stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
On like
they got
the
Honey Burdette on the ladies, yeah.
Yeah, but instead of like Kmart Essentials.
Yeah, which, Anko.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't realize this was going to be an Anko sex party. Thought it was going to be a Honey Burdette sex party. So I'm just going to go get changed
like
into my
Anko's.
I'd
settle for maybe like a bras and things, like a semi-upscale.
Yeah, bras and things, Christmas gift voucher from a husband sex party. That's okay. I'd take that maybe. Didn't realize. Anko. Hey, I bet a lot of people going to these Anko sex parties, Pastor Bake software engineers, probably Gen X. And we check out what's happening with Gen X in Gen X Watch. I've got a post here from the subreddit r/GenX, which we've sort of looked at before. It's where Gen X has posted about the experience of being Gen X. Gen X, of course, the forgotten generation between us
they
millennials
are, really.
And boomers. You know,
no one talks about them anymore.
No one talks about them, and they need you to know that they drank from the hose.
They drank from the hose. Yeah.
Are drinking from the hose.
I think another really interesting defining trait that sets Gen X apart from millennials and the boomers is they just kind of like whatever. They like just didn't give a F about any of that sort of stuff.
They kind of don't care about anything.
They kind of hated your rules. They were sort of rugged individualists. You know, they were sort of rude. They kind of, TV got rude around that time and they were raised on TV. So, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the ways they expressed that was t-shirts. So the post here is What was that t-shirt that caused you to get in trouble at school? I'm sure most of us at some point have worn t-shirts that have caused us to get in trouble at school. That's the body of the post. Now, it couldn't really happen in Australia on account of we have school uniforms over here. But in America, you kind of get to let your freak flag fly.
Yeah.
By wearing freedom. like a cool, weird t-shirt or whatever, you know, wearing jeans and cool shoes. You sort of get to express yourself. And some of these people push the boundaries a little too far. Here's one to start you off. This is the entire text of the person's reply. I'm Bart Simpson. Who the hell are you?
I reckon you need one of the bootleg Simpsons. I am Bart Simpson and I'm killing Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yeah,
kind of shirt.
Yeah.
I've got another one here, entire text of the post. I'm Bart Simpson, who the hell are you?
Okay.
So it's pretty popular.
Just hand out this shirt?
Yeah.
Nice. Someone's,
yeah, they issued it to you. Wait a damn second. This has got a H-E double hockey sticks word on here. Mm. Oh, no, I'm going to get in trouble for sure. Worth it. Here's another one. I got in trouble for wearing my I'm Bart Simpson, who the hell are you shirt.
Oh, God.
Formative memories for all of these people.
Yeah. Spanish teacher saw it, yelled at me. I asked what was wrong with the shirt, and he told me the word hell was on it.
Yep.
He sent me to put on my gym shirt. Instead, I taped over the word hell, wrote heck on it, and put the shirt back on.
No, you didn't. That didn't happen. I also don't think any of this happened. I don't think any of you got in trouble. You fantasized that you were going to get in trouble.
100%. And like a group of cool girls would see you get in trouble. And you just turn around, you look at the teacher and you go, whatever. And then you walk out.
I don't give a rat's heck.
Yeah. I don't give a F about your sister, man. Whatever. I'm going to go watch TV for 8 hours. Yeah, I'm going to change the channels a lot. Man, that teacher was pissed when he saw me later in the day with the shirt on again.
Oh.
I told him I corrected what he said was the problem with the shirt. I got sent to the principal's office. The principal laughed at my malicious compliance.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did he? He respected how much of like a free spirit you are.
Yeah, he actually thought it was sick. He loved The Simpsons.
Technically, I'm not allowed to say this because I'm like your principal, but I'm also kind of whatever myself. And like, I love what you're doing. I respect it. Don't let him get you down.
Yeah, eat my shorts. Keep that fire burning.
Yeah. Hey, between you and me, eat my shorts, brother. You know, you're actually very mature for your age.
No.
I didn't get in trouble. I was told, however, that shirt could not be worn again or I would be in trouble.
Ooh.
Okay, so this is a story about how you didn't get in trouble then?
A story about the idea of trouble, really.
Yeah.
Hey, kid, consider the concept of getting in trouble.
My shirt had two camels kissing that said, "Wanna hump?" I had to wear it inside out for the rest of the day.
That is naughty.
That's weird.
That's weird. Why are you a child wearing that shirt?
Why do you have two camels kissing on your shirt, brother?
What if the camels were fucking on the shirt?
Yeah.
Do you think that's more of a pop that shirt off? Pop that shirt off. Wow, you're really developed for your age.
Oh, you can't wear that. No, you take that off.
Take
you
that off.
Maybe we should swap shirts.
Hey, do you want an ice cold Coca-Cola? I got a little mini bar fridge back here.
Not sure you can wear those shorts either. Those shorts are probably out of line too.
Man, this podcast has taken a turn.
Got a dog farting, a dog doing a poo. That's, you can't wear those.
Oh, they actually didn't include it in the list, but someone did say they got in trouble for the Mambo dog farting shirt. Awesome. Here's another one. A vampire sucking on a wrist that said, "Love sucks." That's really cool.
Again, I'm going to have to assume that is a teacher going, like brandishing their Bible at the student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cannot depict witchcraft, the evils of Satan upon your shirt.
Another one here. It said, "Jesus is coming," with a side shot of a man with a half lob.
Oh.
A half what?
A half lob.
Like his penis?
Like a chub? Like
how do you know it was half? How do you know from the shirt that it was half?
Yeah, you don't know what it's like when it's full.
You don't know if it was full or not.
I don't know about lob. Half lob?
Half lob?
Like a lobster? I'm googling a half lob and I'm seeing haircuts.
Was it Jesus?
Currently, it seems to me mainly be used as a portmanteau for a long bob.
Oh, long bob, lob, yeah.
Oh,
interesting. I'm familiar with the terminology of half lob.
It also seems to be relevant in some kind of European sport where you throw balls.
Yeah, I guess lobbing it would make sense in that.
You can lob a ball.
Lob, the condition of a penis before it becomes fully erect.
Okay.
So we're talking about a half a boner.
You had semi-erect Jesus on your shirt.
Yeah, and cool, Jesus man. Is coming.
Imagine if you had a shirt that said, I pooed.
Yeah, and a silhouette of a guy on a toilet. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I just in the interest of fairness, a lot of bad shirts being worn by millennials in their 20s as well.
Yeah.
Sarcasm is one of the many services I offer type shit.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
My older brother, who would be Gen X, came to Christmas one Christmas wearing a shirt that just said, ass the other vagina. So,
and
for Christmas.
He also, you know what, don't worry about it. The half lob man continues, didn't last too long without being threatened with arrest for blasphemy.
What does that mean?
I don't think you... Well, maybe. They got cops in schools over there, so maybe he was threatened with arrest.
You never know.
Here's another one. A shirt with the phrase, hey, Saddam, this scud's for you, with a giant middle finger.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm going to launch a missile at you, Saddam Hussein.
We'll destroy ISIS.
Hey, ISIS, suck on these big pair of nuts on the shirt.
It's so crazy to think about, like, you know, I just can't really remember anything in my youth of being around a similar age to some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember kids at school wearing, like, just slogans of bloodlust.
Yeah, like
anything with a shirt about which political figure I would like to see killed.
No, it's just like Eric Cartman that said, respect my authority.
Yeah, and that's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. That's comedy.
It's very funny for your like anti-authoritarian thing to be like exactly the US's foreign policy line.
Yeah. No one's on the other side of this issue. You don't have to wear your fuck Saddam Hussein shirt.
Yeah, like all of America is ready to kill as many Middle Eastern people as they want. Like, you don't have to like...
Yeah.
Get in on that. Hey, by the way, not a fan of Saddam Hussein. I got another one here. One that spelled out fuck whenever I sat down.
Ooh.
So I guess there's probably something tricky with the lines or something.
Like a Mad Magazine
folding?
Like a
horizontal folding.
Another one here. Co-ed naked volleyball. On the floor is where you score.
So I can't understand them not wanting kids with shirts
like
about fucking.
Sexual shirts.
Yeah. Co-ed Naked was like a brand, right? And they,
oh, right.
Yeah, Co-ed Naked clothing. They're still going, apparently. Oh, there's been a reboot. Oh my God. I've just found the greatest shirt of all time. And it's
really?
The first one in their shop. Oh, I need to buy this so bad. It is. So there's a picture of an American flag sort of forming a cross with what appears to be an AR-15 and then a sort of World War II style American Army helmet. And the text on it reads, co-ed naked veteran, thank you for your service.
Naked co-ed veteran.
What do you mean, that co-ed sounds... naked veteran?
What do you mean?
What the fuck are you talking about? You can't just...
What there do is, you mean?
You can't mix those things. You kind of have to be the co-ed naked brand, not also like the flag salute.
Yeah,
one.
That seems really disrespectful.
Oh, I'm absolutely buying one of
these.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
For sure. Fuck, they have so many. Co-ed naked lacrosse, co-ed naked pickleball.
Co-ed naked.
Co-ed naked cornhole. The hole is the goal.
Oh my God, that's so good.
Co-ed naked firefighting. Someone actually talked about getting in trouble for this exact shirt in like the 80s. Co-ed naked firefighting, find them hot, leave them wet. Co-ed naked plumbing, co-ed naked electrician. We'll check your shorts.
Okay, so I'm just checking out the page on coednaked.com, the co-ed naked story. Hey, you guys want to know the background of this proud American business?
Absolutely.
When I was a fifth-year senior at the University of New Hampshire, I had no idea what the world had in store for me. But had you told me that I would start a small business with a college friend on a shoestring and a prayer, and that the business would own the trademark for Co-Ed Naked, and Co-Ed Naked would become arguably the greatest selling and most recognized t-shirt in the country and to a generation of people, I would have been all in. And that's exactly what happened.
Oh, cool.
Co-ed, I would have said, how'd you know all that? Co-ed Naked became part of the culture in America in the 1990s, donning classic catchphrases from the original lacrosse design, rough, tough, and in the buff, to find them hot and leave them wet, on ultimately the highest volume seller, firefighting.
Yeah, I'm seeing all these variations. There's lots of co-ed naked carpentry. If it looks good, nail it.
What about co-ed naked banking? Penalty for early withdrawal. I think they may be casting slightly. Co-ed naked gambling? Doesn't make any fucking sense.
What's the joke on that one, though?
Great.
Oh, you want the text?
Yeah, don't just tell.
Lay them on the table.
Okay.
You're nuts?
I'm choosing to believe that that's old titties.
Oh, what about this one? Co-ed naked EMS, like emergency medical services, will get your blood flowing.
Are you meant to have the job when you buy the shirt for?
Co-ed naked lawyers? Good ones get you off easy. Yeah.
The shirts were celebrated at a Rose Garden ceremony at the White House with Bill Clinton.
What?
What?
They made Hollywood debuts on television shows, including Roseanne, The Donahue Show, Portlandia, and most recently, Yellowjackets.
Oh my God.
They were constantly in the press, making hundreds of appearances on radio shows. Little pause there. Not sure how much people are getting from the shirts on radio.
I mean, we're reading out the shirts on
podcast. We're reading it out on the podcast.
Look, so are they all newspapers and magazines? And finally, they became infamous, the enemy of the public schools, as they were banned in schools throughout the US.
Yeah, fair
enough. Early in the new millennium, when Co-Ed Naked was tired, my company decided to let the brand rest. Like Godzilla, you know?
Yes.
Going back into the ocean, lying down till we need him again. It was a difficult decision, but it was the right thing to do. We knew that sometime in the future, there would be signs from a new generation that would dig out the old designs and start asking for their return. That time is now.
Do you guys want to know something else they sell?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
For $24, you can buy The Co-Ed Naked Truth and the Triumph and Pitfalls of Owning a Small Business, a book by Mark Lane.
Jesus.
Good on you.
Very cool.
This is dope. Buying that veteran shirt for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's actually really cool.
Oh, the pickleball slogan's not bad either. It's big and it's getting bigger.
Right. That's pretty good, actually. That's nice.
Yeah. These are just so specific. Imagine, like, oh, they've got a brewing one. I should get one of those.
You should make everyone at the bar wear it.
Yeah. Make it mandatory to wear it at work.
Co-ed naked soccer. No hands, more head.
It's about sex.
That's about fucking.
No, the Gen Zs aren't wearing these, right?
No, because they hate that shit.
They hate it.
Oh, just even thinking about an erect penis makes me sick.
Yeah, roast them. Oh, I can't watch a sex scene in the movie. It makes me feel yucky.
You can't stand a minute of kissing. Oh, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, get him.
Co-ed naked drinking?
That's just too vague.
Bottoms up.
I got another one here. You'll remember that smiley face shirt where the smiley had been shot in the forehead? That mm-hmm. one.
Cool,
that
man.
One.
Yeah. Oh, am I in trouble, sir?
Oh, is it legal?
My shirt a little too much for you? Got another one here.
Vintage 1990s smiley head shot shirt. Only $409.
Mm. Oh, fuck. I bet it looks cool as hell, though.
Here's the thing. Not really.
Oh.
Like, it's not what I would imagine, you know? That kind of shirt. Yeah. If you told me, ooh, a cool shirt of a smiley face that has been shot in the head, I'd imagine something cool, and then I'll see the thing and I'll go, eh,
Okay, but are you looking at the one where the back of the shirt has an exit wound?
Oh, I didn't see the exit wound.
Oh, that's
you are.
Cool.
That's a, okay. That's two picks. Second one, the back is a just the exploded back of the head of the smiley face.
It kind of looks like an anus in the middle of the head there.
It looks like a very distressed anus, yeah.
I guess what's meant to be happening is that you're seeing the entry wound from the front of the head and then the great big gaping exit wound at the back of the smiley face.
That's edgy.
But he's still smiling, you know? You can't break his spirit.
He's still smiling.
That's really beautiful. Got another one here. FCK, all that's missing is you, circa 1993.
I do vaguely remember there being some drama with the FCUK brand.
Yeah. Yeah, that was considered pretty.
Yeah, you couldn't wear that
edgy.
On.
Hey, you can't wear that.
Day.
Oh, it says for cuck. Okay. All right.
You got me.
Get on
you
in
got
there.
Me. You got me.
Yeah. One final one here. Old skate magazine called Big Brother. I was so happy to get their shirt. It read crap in big bold letters in the front.
I actually think that's a really sick shirt to wear. If I saw a guy wearing a shirt that just said crap, I'd have a little laugh.
That's so good. That's like a shirt that you'd see like a Korean tourist wearing walking around. Yeah. And be like, where did you even buy that
it's
from?
It's like the Obey logo, but it just says crap.
Well, this person does seem to have, this person on eBay does seem to have like legit shirts from the 1990s. Lucy, they have an original 1990s Wayne's World shirt.
Oh, fuck. Cool.
True vintage, not a modern reproduction. Only $409 Australian dollars.
You can't be charging that much for a fucking shirt.
No,
I'm
sorry.
I'm a little perplexed by the review that somebody left after purchasing a vintage 1995 Primus Tales from the Punch Bowl shirt.
Cool.
For $245. And they left their review, 5 stars. Seems almost too perfect. Is it vintage? It's mint, like fresh off the rack mint. I don't know. I'm going to see Primus for the 5th time, so I'm obviously a fan. I'd spend the money either way.
Huh? So what do you, how do you feel?
If you'd spend the money either way, buy a fucking new one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just buy a new one.
Drop $50 on a reproduction of that shirt.
Call that getting tricked by business.
Yeah, there it is. Yes, Lucy.
Yes.
Fucking just do what I did, and when you're like 22, go online to one of those like bootleg metal shirts website, buy every single Primus shirt they have and then find out that none of them fit you because they're the weirdest sizes on earth.
Yeah.
Also made of like you ordered a large? That's our one that's twice as wide as it is tall?
Yeah, they're always the like Gildan wide style.
Band shirts are fucking terrible. They never fit. Any
all
Gildan?
Of our shirts printed printed on a Gildan chode.
I will say in the interest of fairness, Gildan soft style is a pretty good fit. That's
I was
going like
to say
a,
the worst thing about them is they have the worst textured shirts.
So
like
bad.
The texture is yucky. It's nasty. Yeah.
No good.
Like a cotton cheese grater.
We are an AS color household. You got to be on those AS color staples. That's a quality shirt.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe no one is talking about this. And we talk about stuff that needs to be talked about on a segment we call Stuff We Should Talk About. It's time for Stuff We Should Talk About.
We'll get a theme for that soon.
Yeah, we should. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Co-ed naked clamming?
Jesus.
Well, that one writes itself.
That really clamming? Does. That one's pretty simple. Get your clam out, right?
Yeah.
Jam out with your clam out, it says. Oh.
I feel like you could. All
right, that's probably better. Yeah, maybe. Got a lot of clam stuff. So this is just something I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Something, stuff that I thought we should talk about. So earlier, like last week, my best friend texted me, and me and her are very different people. We have very different interests. One of her interests is reading romance novels. Like she's one of those people that will just read like 100 of those like shitty, cheap romance novels constantly.
Did she ever say why?
I don't know. She seems to enjoy them. I've never read one.
Are we talking like, because they come in like 2 grades, right? One where it's just sort of like a romance with some like glossed over sex scenes, or the ones that are just pure
smut.
Yeah,
no, the pure, the nasty ones.
Yeah, nice.
Which is awesome. Just not for me because I would just like watch pornography on the internet, just personally.
Yeah. Well, you're a busy woman. You don't have time to read a fucking novella.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But she texted me and she was like, you've got to start reading these ice hockey romance novels.
Oh.
Because she always sees me talking about my ice hockey stuff. And I was like, look, I'm not going to do that, but what do you mean? Like, is that a genre? Like, is that just a thing, an ice hockey romance novel? It turns out there's a whole world out there that, like, you would not believe.
Okay.
So are you guys aware of book talk? Do you know what I mean when I say book talk?
Yes.
I understand it insofar as I know what it there's a combination of words of. Is there just like people that are on TikTok that always talk about like the same 10 New York bestsellers or whatever?
No. This is it's for like specifically the smutty like sex books, basically.
Okay.
Which there are apparently just thousands and thousands of. And you'll just get a reel that's like a lady being like, when the fairy king locks you in a room and pees on you. And then makes you say thank you. It's like a song. You never seen these?
No.
Like you just see the most fucked up thing you've ever seen and then realize that she's like talking about a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pissed on by the fairy king. Yeah. Yeah. It's just really like really women are disgusting too type stuff, you know?
Yeah, which is great. It's really lovely to be reminded, yeah, I like it. Reminded sometimes that women are unbelievably horny and often in worse ways.
Yeah.
That, you know, without the sexual violence.
Often less forgivable probably, ways.
So I started reading into this. I found this article from the New York Times, which is the messy relationship between romance novels and ice hockey.
Okay.
Hockey romance is a thriving literary subgenre, but some of its fans on TikTok are creating content that blurs the lines between fictional players and real-life ones, dividing the community. The niche world of hockey romance novels is getting mainstream attention after the wife of an NHL player criticized book fans who she said had made comments and videos on social media about her husband that were predatory and exploiting.
Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah, it says here that user Valentine_Lucy said,
I keep these things to myself. Yeah, you know?
I could go a little high sticking. How about some necessary roughness? You know?
All right, so this is about book talk. On TikTok, people share book recommendations and reviews under the hashtag book talk. The community has become a powerful force in publishing. More than 100 authors with large book talk followings drove $760 million in sales in 2022. Romance is a big part of the book talk universe as its popular subgenre hockey romance, which falls under the broader sports romance category. Like, firstly, I can't think of anything less romantic than dating a hockey player.
Yeah. Like, he's probably, like, he's not going to be, like, a smart guy.
No, he's, like, even if he's a smart guy, he's Canadian. Like, he's from Ontario and he talks, like, he's, like, kind of slow. Like, you're not sure if he's, like, got an acquired brain injury.
Yeah. And hey, either that or he's like, Russian or Swedish. And you're,
he's
like,
he's either
Russian,
Swedish, or from
here?
Ontario. Yeah.
Yeah. None of them good.
It's kind of, like, it's kind of hot, but.
Yeah.
Babe, do you want to
not really
fuck?
Romantic.
No, I'm going to go and play ice hockey. Okay.
I got skate practice tomorrow, babe. All right. That literally every day, but okay.
Mm. Recent hits have included Anna Szabo and L.A. Witt's Scoreless Game, a love story between two longtime friends who are players on the fictional Pittsburgh Griffins.
Go Griffins.
Go Griffins. In Overnight Sensation by Serena Bowen, an office intern for the fictional Brooklyn Bruisers moves in with a player after leaving the condo she lives in with her father, the Hockey League's commissioner.
Oh, it's always like there's a drama caused by one of their fathers.
Oh, yeah.
It's a classic.
I love it. In Australia, where ice hockey is not particularly popular, professional teams have credited book talk with increasing game attendance and fan interest. Sarah Bricknell, the events and media manager for the Melbourne Mustangs, told the Hillshire Times, a Sydney newspaper, that 15 to 30 BookTok fans had been at every home game since the team joined TikTok in May.
What the fuck are you, where are you getting that info? Where are you getting those stats from?
There's,
can you
I'm
tell
assuming
by
there's
looking?
Just like a group of like young women that are there. I've got to say that like I've been to a bunch of like Australian ice hockey games. They're really fun, but it's, we're talking like low league.
Yeah.
Like these are just some guys. Like you
and you're
just
a real fan, to be fair,
at
not,
the
a,
pub
not a book talk
later.
Not a book talk whore.
Yeah.
Like you can tell who the book talk ladies are because, well, there's actually people attending the game and also they all have Bluetooth eggs in.
Yeah. All coming with their eggs.
Hey, you might not know the answer to this, Lucy, but but Is book talk something where, like, particular authors will kind of, I guess, try to, like, ingratiate themselves with book talk creators in order to juice sales?
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people that are just deliberately trying to cultivate followings and leverage stuff off that because it does drive, like, crazy amounts of book sales because no one actually buys books anymore except for these deranged...
So I was curious about it. I looked at one. There's one that's like for sale in Kmart. Like these hockey books are like in Kmart. You can buy them everywhere. They're so popular. And I was like, well, because I asked my best friend, I was like, well, how detailed is it? She's like, oh, it's like full on. Like it's just a complete sex scene in there. So I had to like flick through at Kmart the other day of this book that looks like a teenage romance novel. Like it's something you would buy for like a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
It's got like a cute drawing on the front. Like romantic like blurb on the back, and then I looked in it and it was just like
lacing up his skates.
Yeah, it's just fully like I'm gonna claim that pussy later. I was like, oh my goodness.
I saw a thing about this a little while ago where it was somebody who works in a bookstore and they were talking about having this sort of moral quandary, right? With they were saying particularly around the cover designs for these books where they were like, yeah, a lot of stuff now has this really kind of like poppy, bright,
Sweet Valley High
design. Yeah, it's really poppy and colorful.
Not like that so much as just like clean contemporary graphic design that looks like Lucy's saying, looks like it could be a young adult novel kind of thing. And they were saying, yeah, you get a bunch of like parents bringing these books up to the counter like for a kid or with their kid. And they were saying, I'm really torn about whether or not I should be saying to parents, hey, you know what kind of book this is? Because it's just sort of softcore porn.
Like, obviously, it's fine to have that stuff. And if, you know, there's literotica and all that kind of stuff on the internet. But it's like, it's very unclear from the designs of these books what's inside them.
Definitely ended up reading a lot of like very explicit sex scenes in books as a kid where I had no idea that was going to be in there, and boy was I thrilled that it was.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like, and I don't think this person's concern was in any way like there shouldn't be sex scenes in books or they shouldn't be getting sold in bookstores or anything. It was purely the matter of like,
how do you flag
they
this?
Were saying it's quite clear from seeing the purchasing patterns of people who are buying them that a lot of people are buying them for their, like, you know, 11, 12-year-old daughters.
And she's going to think a hockey player is a good boyfriend. That's not a good boyfriend.
Wrong.
He's
you
always at
have
hockey
to move
practice.
Constantly.
You are going to have to live in the worst cities imaginable.
Newfoundland.
You are moving
Arizona.
To Montreal.
Got all over the place. They
you are
will
first
change
moving
you.
To the Ukraine.
Got to try and figure out how to wash his shoulder pads. How do you even clean that stuff, you know?
Stinky. On the internet, the lines between fictional players and real-life ones can blur, especially when teams use BookTok to promote themselves. Video posted to the Seattle Kraken's official TikTok account that has since been archived showed Alex Wenberg, a center for the team, walking down a hallway in a suit with the text, "When you accidentally become a BookTok account and now that's all you can post."
What?
What?
Other posts by romance fans on BookTok have talked about a specific player as a stand-in for a favorite fictional hockey player or showed game footage overlaid with quotes from hockey romance books. A segment of these posts are sexually explicit, and some fans have posted explicit comments on players' personal social media accounts.
Yeah. I want to fucking suck you like in the book.
Yeah. Let me grab that stick.
Save it for the DMs,
babe. Talk about your penis.
Yeah. Emily Rath, the author of Pucking Around, romance bestseller on Amazon, said on TikTok that some fans had raised concerns about inappropriate behavior directed at players earlier this year. True hockey romance readers have been here before, Miss Rath said on TikTok. We watched it all unfold in April. We were ringing the alarm bells. We were asking that it stop.
Man, this is there's a specific voice people use on the internet when they're talking about the communities they're in online as if they were in a war.
Yeah.
We watched it all unfold in April.
Yeah, like your brother company. Like
there were like a bunch of posts that you saw and refleeted. You refleeted some posts about it or something?
Yeah. Well, there was a big drama. There was a big drama, actually. Conflict peaked when an NHL player's wife got involved. issue started to attract attention from outside the romance world in July when Felicia Wennberg, the wife of Alex Wennberg, said that some posts about her husband had gone too far. Miss Wennberg said on Instagram stories that while she had initially joked about some of the videos and comments, they had since crossed the line of what it means to fancy someone and when it actually sounds pretty predatory and exploiting.
Genuine question. Do you think that, like, people are becoming more insane about famous people, online celebrity and all that sort of stuff than they have ever been before?
I think there's something strange about having such access to a famous person. Like, they might not interact with you, but you can send them a DM on Instagram, you know? Yeah,
and if you're, like, a hockey player on the Seattle Krakens, you'll probably see that. Like, you're at a level of fame where you're like, oh, like, hockey fans will definitely recognize you at the supermarket constantly and shit, but also you don't have, like Kim Kardashian has never seen a DM in her life. Like, never, you know? Like, she is so many layers removed from that that, like, it doesn't really matter how the public interacts with her because she's super insulated from it. If you're just, like, a guy that's always on the bench for hockey games and everyone wants to fuck you and they're trying to message you that, you're going to see them. You're going to see them constantly.
I guess that's, better than guys that lost their, like, sports bet multi messaging you being like, you should fucking kill yourself after the game.
If you don't kill yourself, I'll kill you. So, like, which way would you prefer to go?
Yeah. Which way, Western man?
Which way, hockey man?
The wife's statement described what she considered acceptable, such as positive comments about her husband's looks, and what she did not, such as chanting, crack my back, at players at games. She asked people to think twice about their posts.
You're like in the stands and you're chanting, fuck me.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Like, fuck me.
Crack like Kraken, but crack my back.
Like, just get in there and snap my back in half from how robust.
Physically destroy me.
I don't know. I guess. Very weird to be at a group of people yelling that at people. That's like, I mean, it's just sexual harassment. Like, it's not.
Yeah, this ambiguous. Is just like sexual harassment. The Kraken has since removed its TikTok posts about BookTok.
Yeah.
So smart. They got involved with it. They were like, oh, this is fun. We'll just repost these horny posts about our players and then realized it was very bad.
Yeah, like 100 women in the stands being like, give me that dick. Yeah. Dick me down. Oh, man, we can't do this anymore.
No. So I found one of the women that's like responsible for a lot of all this. Oh. And I went through like a bunch of her TikToks and it was just like unhinged. Like, she was an unhinged person. There was just all these like videos of players at games and just heard like doing really like horny faces and like bending over and stuff like that. Just overlaid on like footage of players.
Oh,
Lucy, cool. Have you considered that feminism is about equality, and equality means that
it's time we start sexually harassing them.
Men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if they didn't like it, they shouldn't have been harassing ladies all those years.
Maybe they shouldn't be. Like, ice hockey's a slutty game. Like,
ice hockey's no place for a man.
Being real slutty out there, looking all sexy, getting into fights and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Like how you were dressed when you skated out on the ice.
Fully covered up so no one can see the shape of your body.
That just makes it sexier. Oof. That just makes it more mysterious.
So this lady made a video that Miss Wennberg cited as an example of inappropriate behavior. And she has since posted a handful of videos responding to the situation. Kiera Lewis, who has 1.1 million followers on TikTok, had been flown out to a Kraken game earlier this year after she posted videos featuring explicit comments about NHL players. She said that she had privately messaged Miss Wennberg on Instagram to apologize. Hey, sorry, I really want to fuck your husband.
Wait, flown out to a Kraken
game? Yeah, like they really embrace this. They were like, oh, this is cool, book talk.
You really want to fuck these guys?
Yeah, we'll fly you out here. You can yell at them about how you want to fuck them.
Is this like flying a Disney influencer out to Disney World or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Miss Lewis said that the Kraken TikTok account had since unfollowed her, leaving her confused and upset.
Oh, man. You can't, like, I understand this probably occupies a lot of her mental space, and when you get that sort of online fame, it sort of becomes your entire life.
Yeah.
But you cannot, as a grown adult, have, like, a big meltdown because of an unfollowing. That's just, like, the most It's indecorous. It's not becoming.
They probably just unfollowed you to like stop encouraging you.
Yeah. And so you that know? Those DMs wouldn't come up with a notification. Leave that in the requests.
Yeah. She would have been sending so many DMs. You know, she's in the players' DMs every morning like, have a good game today.
Good morning, sweetie.
Good morning, Thinking of you. Kraken said in a statement that they had originally engaged with BookTok to connect with new audiences, but were reminded by this situation that unintended consequences may arise.
Yeah.
I guess.
You try and cultivate a new audience, and then that new audience is just like in the stands gagging, aggressively gagging at your players.
Which you're allowed to. You just got to keep it, again, to yourself.
Yeah. You can be horny. But we'll say it. You can be as horny as you want for hockey players, but just don't bring the egg with you to the game and don't shout out, hey, dick me down. Literally any of you. I'll take any of you. Yeah, you guys still in the box? Dick me down. I don't care that I don't know your name.
Penalty right box? Now. 2 minutes? I got time. Let's go.
As short as you want. I don't care.
Get in this box, you know?
30 seconds. Whatever.
See, I just wanted to talk about women being disgusting, horny freaks.
Yeah, thank you for helping us take women down a peg.
Yeah.
Finally.
Because I think they need to be brought down just a little bit. Watch pornography.
Watch
pornography like the rest of us, you know.
Read your books. Just don't, like, DM the players.
Just don't get confused about, like, the fact that they're real people. Like, in real life with, like, families.
Like, if you are so horny from reading fictional scenarios of ice hockey players fucking that you are starting to struggle to distinguish between reality and fantasy, probably take a breather and just watch pornography. Put the book down.
Ice hockey team, you know?
Oh my God, I bet you're going to find something great there.
Yeah.
Just have the palate cleanser of 2 to 4 hours of hardcore pornography.
Yes. Just reset your brain. Sometimes your brain just needs a hard reset.
Start gooning. Women can goon too.
Oh, there's...
Women can goon too.
It's probably a pun there, right? Because of that movie and because of the...
Yes.
The ice hockey.
Yeah. Goon.
Gooning.
Goon.
Gooning is where you're watching goon and ice hockey player pornography at the same time.
Yeah. And you're on the cusp of orgasm for 12 hours until your stuff hurts.
Ideally. Hey, just coming back to co-ed naked shirts for a second. I was just suddenly captivated by this one-star review from Chris M, January 3rd, 2024. Received a skiing shirt when a fishing shirt was ordered, right? That's got to be upsetting.
That's very upsetting. You're a fishing guy.
Have sent 2 emails to Resolve and the company doesn't care to respond. The other 2 shirts that I ordered came exactly as ordered. This skiing shirt, however, I have no use for.
What? It would keep your torso warm and it would cover up your nipples.
It's strongly suggesting that the shirt is only valid if you are an active participant in
the
subject of
the shirt. Right,
so
you need to have the subject of the shirt.
Well, you wouldn't get the co-ed naked electrician shirt if you weren't a Sparky. Like, that wouldn't make any fucking sense.
No, you wouldn't give that to a guy who loved clamming.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what's this for? I just love the idea that he's like, the other two, you know, the ones for skydiving and air hockey. Perfect. Yeah. Wonderful. They're a big part of my life. My brother-in-law, he also plays a lot of air hockey. We can share the shirt. It's a dual-purpose shirt. Skiing, though? Skiing for a fisherman like me? Absurd. It'd be fucking insane for me to wear this. What if I was wearing it and someone asked me where I like to go skiing?
Hitting the slopes later?
What's your favorite black diamond slope?
Yeah, instantly bursting into tears. I can't keep up the charade anymore.
I can't lie. I can't fucking lie, all right? I've never gone skiing in my life. I just think it's funny to imagine if they were naked co-eds and they were skiing, because that would be crazy.
What if they were horny?
What if everyone was naked and they were doing the stuff that I like to do, but I don't like to ski and I still have the shirt?
I do kind of want to get the fishing shirt. The fishing shirt looks good. Co-ed naked fishing. One. It's got like a beautiful trout, you know, lying in some ferns. And it says underneath, It feels good to release.
I thought you wanted to catch the fish.
Well, yeah, but then you release, you know what I mean?
But the release.
Does the release feel good? I thought maybe the catch would feel better.
Well, the catch feels good because you've achieved something, but the release feels fucking amazing because you've done like a great act of like mercy, of clemency to this fish. You're saying, hey.
You've done a Steve Irwin.
Yes.
Yeah, I just fish for the release.
You've done a Rex Hunt, but not the bad stuff Rex Hunt did, the good stuff.
Yeah,
the Rex Hunt did, kissing all those fish.
He kissed all those fish.
Yeah. And saying, hey, good luck out there.
Hey, fish. Stay frosty. Don't get caught again.
Yeah,
I show me mercy this time.
Swivel.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Rex Hunt would recognize a fish if he got it again? No, you had your chance. You're going in the esky.
Yeah, you're not getting a kiss this time. You're getting in a frying pan with a little bit of butter.
Yep.
A little bit of tarragon.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Maybe he's thinking if I get caught again, I get another kiss.
Yeah. Kiss for me?
Maybe if I get caught again, it'll go further next time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The last time I went fishing, I caught the same fish twice in a row.
Really?
Same style of fish?
Stupid.
No,
fish.
It's the exact same fish because it had a thing from where I'd taken the hook out off the last one.
Did you say, bro, give me a fucking break?
Yeah. Also, it's just a little tiny brim. It was of no use to anyone.
No.
It felt really mean. I haven't been fishing since those ages.
When God's choir sings, will that little brim's voice not be heard, Ben?
No, it'll be very quiet.
Drowned out. They're going to have elephants. They're going to have WWE's The Great Khali just bellowing away. You know,
Big Show, Andre the Giant,
Big Show,
Kevin Nash.
Even some of the smaller wrestlers like Rob Van Dam and Taz from ECW, they're going to be there singing. You know, they're really going to drown that brim out.
Probably Shaq's voice, probably drowning out most of the animals
Shaq
as well.
Shaq will be there.
All of the big guys.
All the big guests that they had over the years. Dennis Rodman will definitely be singing in the Lord's Choir, but I think he's going to stand with the wrestlers and not with the basketball players.
I agree. Robert Wadlow, he's probably going to be pretty loud as well.
Why would co-eds be fishing?
Why would they be fishing naked?
It'd
be cold out there.
Why would they be fishing naked?
Maybe you're in
the
tropics.
Collectively, like $300 to the naked shirt company. We should get a referral code.
Ooh.
Yeah.
CoEdNaked.com.
This has been an ad.
Bunta. Yeah. Enter Bunta Vista 5. 5% off.
Now, it will say that the code is invalid and for good reason.
Yes.
I'm trying to fix up our merch situation, by the way. I'll get there one day.
Oh, we should make a co-ed naked podcasting shirt.
We should. I can't think of a little gag just yet. I'll get there.
You got to use your mouth.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Talking.
Four mouths are better than one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. I guess it'd be hard to... Four mouths is... No, it doesn't really matter.
Gee, that's a lot of mouths.
Yes, that's perfect.
Oh boy.
That was definitely an episode of the podcast. Bunta Vista, thank you so much for joining us. This is going to be my last episode for a little while because I will be in South
America.
Ben
has cancer. Ben is dying.
Dying. Send money to me. I'll be back in like 5 weeks from when you're hearing this.
Ben's got wanderlust.
Yeah, I'm kind of like a wanderlust kind of travel guy. For me, and this is just a personal thing, I love being on holiday, which is sort of a unique part of my
personality.
Interesting
thing about me, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're the one guy who likes travel. How do you feel about music?
I love music. Anything with a beat just makes my heart sing.
Yes. Oh, yuck, I hate a beat.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Stay safe out there.
Bye.
Bye.